Okay, Rabbi Isai, Thursday night, Parshas Shoftim Tovshin Pei Aleph. Thanking everybody who's here, thanking Torah anytime, and first of all, welcoming everybody. It's been a while since we've had Shir. Everybody who's here in the room, everybody's on the screen. I want to mention, because this is the first time we're having Shir since Bein Hazmanim, that Bein Hazmanim was challenging with the Patira of Meir Rabbi, Zeichet Tzadik Tavrocha, the Reshiva. We should all be Zeichet, only have Simchas. And as I said, sometimes I spoke, everything I have is really because of him. Okay, so on that note, let us begin. There'll be Hespedim this coming Wednesday evening. Rabbi Zucker will be speaking, Rabbi Gross will be speaking, Rabbi Reisman will be speaking, and I'll be speaking as well, Bez Hashem Mizbarach. Okay, we have a Shaila here, Lahalocha. I know we were supposed to speak about Ribbis tonight, however, the Ribbis Shaila is still ongoing, and I thought it would be finished by today. It's not. It's a complicated Shaila, which I would like to share with you. It's extremely relevant, dealing with mega amounts of money, but we can't talk about it yet. So instead, I have another Shaila which I was preparing as well. This shiur is something that came to me twice in the last few months. And the shiur, Kadosh Baruch Hu is always so kind, visibly kind, that he sent a shaila to us about that which we are learning in the Choshen Mishpachah right now. Now, I don't think tonight's shiur is going to be concluded in one shiur. It's probably going to be a two-part shiur. And I would like to talk about the following issue, something that we have all witnessed dozens, if not hundreds of times. And when I say witnessed, we didn't witness it literally, but we were in the room when it happened. A man takes a ring and puts it on a woman's finger and says, Hariat Mukudeshus Libet Abbasukidas Moshe Yisro. And then they stand under the chuppah and they say Sheva Brachas. And when that ceremony is over, that young lady, we said this many months ago in Shir, that when the 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 people come to the chasana, everybody walks out the same as they walked in, except for the young lady. She walks in as a penuya, and she walks out as a eishes ish. She has an incredible change in status. And that is the most familiar part of Eben Ezer in Hilchos Kiddushin to us, that a woman who entered the wedding hall as a penuya walks out as an eishes ish. However, besides that happening, there are many other things that take place. I know some people on the screen, some people in this room, and anybody else who may be watching. But I will tell you, on the screen that I can see right now, there are five. Right, so I wanted to say the following, that there is another incredible issue that takes place when a man puts a ring on a woman's finger and says, that's why she was shown, then has the chuppah with the shavu brachas. And that is, there is an entire institution of mamonis. Mamonis. Now, I mentioned the last, maybe it's 6 weeks, maybe it's 2 months, maybe it's 2.5 months. I got two shilohs which I never got before in the shul. Thursday evening shiloh of the week. And one was from a father for a son, one was from a father for a daughter. He wanted to know, each one of them had the following issue. Their children own a lot of assets. As young children, whatever the reason is, they have a lot of money. A lot of money. And the question is there any way that they can protect the money that their children are bringing into the marriage?
What are the children that means the daughters?
Well, I'm saying somebody has to be a shiloh for his son, somebody has to be a shiloh for his daughter. Now, I'd like to say something here. Klal Yisrael in my lifetime, in our lifetimes, has changed. What I mean to say. When I was growing up, you know, the wealthy people in Shul were the doctors. And we were talking about thousands. No one ever spoke about millions. Nowadays, there are frum people. The world has changed. There are frum people. And that's part of the shaila that I said I was going to talk about tonight, which I can't yet. We are talking about people in Klal Yisrael right now. Frum people. Shomer Shabbos people. Who are valued at 10 figures. That's billion. There are probably close to 24 people in the United States of America and Canada who are billionaires. Poshikiret billionaires. There might be exaggerations that some people who are millionaires are considered billionaires. We're not going into that right now. And then there are a lot of people who have 9 figures of money, a lot. 9 figures of money are hundreds of millions. And there are people with 8 figures of money, 20, 30, 40, 50 million dollars. And I know of one case, I was slightly involved in the case, where a Zayda died and he left all of his Einikluch. Yerusha's in the millions. And there are people like that. It's not that uncommon. And there are a lot of Zaydas and Bubbas around, people in their 70s or their 80s or maybe their 90s, who have a lot of money and have already distributed some of their wealth prior to going to the Olam Hamas, and that distribution has gone to their children and to grandchildren. So now you could have a couple under the chuppah, which is unheard of in my day, a 23-year-old chassan and a 20-year-old kala, and we're talking about 6 figures, 7 figures. The chassan kala themselves usually don't have any more than, at least I've never heard of a shiloh with any more than 6 or 7 figures. Okay, what's the shiloh? The shiloh is the following. We're going to focus tonight on the girl, on the young lady, on the kala. When she enters into a marriage with assets, what happens to those assets? She enters into a marriage with a 20-unit apartment building. With rents that net $20,000 a month. Okay? My numbers are not so off, Josh. Okay. I am not talking about another shiloh, which is also become common, in which nowadays there are second marriages. People, Rachman al-Son, died, people got divorced, and there are second marriages. That is definitely more complicated about the assets that are brought into the marriage by the woman, not the young girl who's getting married, the 40, 50, 60, 70 year old woman who has serious assets left over to her from her husband who is no longer alive, and she's getting married. And now what happens with those assets? These are shilohs that are quite serious. Quite serious. I don't hear you. Nichsei tzayim barzal and nichsei baluk. Absolutely. So let's begin. Minat Torah. Let's talk Minat Torah. A woman comes into a marriage with whatever it is, several million dollars from her husband, deceased husband, or from a Yerusha, from her father, and she walks into a marriage with several million dollars. Minat Torah. Midaraisa. She owns apple orchards, she owns apartment buildings, she owns nursing homes. And Minat Torah, who owns, I don't hear you.
The Bala.
Minat Torah, who owns that which she brings into the marriage? Minat Torah.
Is it the Bala?
No. Minat Torah, she owns what she owns.
She owns it.
She owns it. I said Minatora. Minatora, she owns it. She owns it. Finish.
Why can't you keep this even simpler than Nechsei Baluch? It's Hilchos
Mominus.
Someone can be
Mokhalachol. One second. It's I appreciate what you're saying, Roshaya, but it's more complicated than that. I want to show you where we're going.
Make it so.
Min HaTorah, she owns, and she continues to own anything she had before the marriage. She owns it now after the marriage. However, Chazal came along, and Chazal said, I am not talking tonight about a woman who comes into the marriage as a professional. She's a paralegal, maybe she's a lawyer, maybe she's a dentist, maybe she's a doctor, maybe she's a nursing home owner, and she's getting salaries, and she's making money on a monthly basis from her work. That's a different category. That's called Maisa Gadel. Maisa Gadel means that which she makes through salary. I'm not talking about that tonight. Tonight we're talking about a woman who comes in with assets, and the assets have peros. Peros means they throw off dividends, rents from an apartment building, or fruits in a field. She's not working to make a salary. Things are happening mameilu. So the halacha is, again, min HaTorah, she owns everything. Come along, Chazal, and now this is Rabbi Yisrael, I'm telling you like this, it's absolutely fascinating. We learn these mesechtos when we're in yeshiva, and now, learning the halacha, it's a different world. What do I mean to say? Chazal said, and we want a marriage to be a situation in which not only by putting the ring on her finger and standing under the chuppah has she become asur to everyone else in the world, asura to everyone else in the world, and she is an Eishes Ish. Besides that, there is another aspect that happens. He also changed, but not lahalacha. Until now he was a bachur, and now he's a married man. Not much change in that situation. What changed is, until now he had no achrayus, and now he has achrayus for another human being. That word is frightening. He has achrayus for another human being. What does that mean? That means like this. Nowadays we laugh at this. Although it's not so laughable anymore, I'll tell you what I mean in a moment.
Isn't that
derisa? What's that? Me derisa. It's a machlekish rishonim. If he's chayiv to feed her, she'er ksus va'ayna, which is a pasuk in the Torah. It's a machlekish rishonim. How to learn pshat in that pasuk lahalocha. But I don't mean to say that. There's halocha. What happens if a woman gets captured? She's captured. Mar talks about this all the time. She was captured. Rahman al-Aslan, she was captured. If you go to the airport nowadays, which is my biggest frame of reference to what's going on in the world, there are signs in the airports about Rahman al-Aslan, human trafficking. Nowadays, it became more relevant. Wealthy people are kidnapped for ransom. Rahman al-Aslan. So now, what's the halacha? The halacha is, of course this would sound in a regular, normal marriage that is full of feelings between the husband and wife. You wouldn't need this. But l'maitza, the halacha is, he is chayev bepirkuna, midrabona. He is chayev to pay to get her away from her captors, her kidnappers, whatever the term is. He's chayev. As a result of that chiyuv, said Chazal, this is a Gemara in Ksubis, peiros is tachas pirkuna. Those fruits that are, as a Russian idiomatic expression nowadays, thrown off, those dividends which come about as a result of that which she brought into the marriage, Chazal said they belong to him. Now this is the first step in a very complicated and complex process. Josh said it, I think Shaya said it, Nichsei Malug, Nichsei Tzoy Barz. Very serious issues here. Now let's talk. She comes into a marriage with a 20-unit apartment building which is throwing off $20,000 a month. A month. She's making $250,000 a year on this apartment building. Basically, she's not doing anything for it. Maybe she hired somebody to collect the rents. Whatever it is, she's not working in this apartment building. She got this apartment building from her father, or her apartment building got it from her husband after he died, and she got an apartment building now. And the $20,000 a month, the $240,000 a year, she's supporting her kids in Kailul, and she's living nicely. Finish. Hariat Mekudesh Yisli B'tabasu Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Borato Hashem. Mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. Get public. You are now married. And at that moment, those $20,000 per month of payros belong to your new husband. It's called Kinyan Payros. It's called Nichsei Malug. And he gets it because he takes the responsibility that he will redeem her at all costs if she is captured. I'm not getting into the issue. I didn't know about it. You didn't know about it. Maybe we'll talk about that later. That's not my issue tonight. I want to stay focused on one thing. The first thing. How is the Kinyan made? Translation. What act of transition has been done to affect that which she owned until now is now transferred to him? That's question number one. You need a Kenyan. To acquire something, you need a Kenyan. Tumul number one. Tumul number two. Whatever the Kenyan is, let's say the Kenyan is when he puts the ring on her finger and standing under the chuppah, just like it creates that she became an Ashes Ish, because, quote unquote, he acquired her, whatever word you want to know, Ha'ish Makadish, Isha Niknis, whatever word you want to use. But Lamaisa, right now, he acquired an incredible concept. And that is, he acquired the profits, the payros, of this 20-unit building.
Which are future, they don't exist right now.
Okay.
Even though she made the Kinyan.
There's no Kinyan on the
ring, no?
She made the Kinyan on the ring, that is correct. He put the ring into her hand and put the ring onto her finger. That was the Kinyan. When she takes it, that the Kinyan is being made. Right, but he is acquiring her with that Maisa Kinyan. That is correct. Very good, Reb Nachi. Josh is asking, how can you be kodesh something which is Dovah Shalom Bali Olam? The answer to that is the apartment building exists right now.
But the payros.
I understand. So he's making a Kinyan in the payros. That's a good question about whether or not that becomes a Dovah Shalom Bali Olam. But we're leaving that out also. She is one of the younger light in the Kohel, the oldest younger man in the Kohel. Spoke to one of the Gedolei Ador last week before this man started, Rav Shlomo Miller. He said, this girl has no idea what's going on. So how does it work? The answer we hold is that you didn't ask what's going on. You're aware there's something happening. You didn't ask what's happening. It happens. It's a great kasha also. There's a lot to discuss here. Marriage is an unbelievable, it's an institution that has incredible, incredible responsibility. Monetary responsibility. Now, this man acquired the papers. Okay. He now gets the profits from this building. Who owns the building?
She does.
She does. What's that called?
There's
Kinyan Guf and there's Kinyan Peris. The word, we had a Yachay Kala here. A wonderful person came in to speak at our Yachay Kala. And he said over a word that, he said it's a word in English. It's used in the art scroll Gemaras. Usufruct. Have you heard that word? Probably not. I mean, I know I'm sitting in front of some very smart people here. Usufruct is a word that means the use of the fruit. We're pretty sure that's what it means. But it's only used in relationship to the kinyan that the husband has and the nechasim that the wife brought in. It's called kinyan peres. Kinyan peres. It's incredible. It's incredible. Mamish incredible. Now. Yes, sir.
And that sounds silly, but who's responsible for the upkeep and the safety of the apartment?
That is a great question. That's not. I'm going to get up soon and smack you. But you're not on the screen here. Everybody can't see you. It's a great question. Stop saying you don't ask good questions. You've never asked a bad question in the 25 years you've been asking questions. Baruch Hashem. It's a terrific question. As far as it sounds very neat and clean, that there's Kinyan HaPeiros, Kinyan Peiros, and Kinyan HaGuf. She owns the building, and he gets the profits. Okay, that's great. Who takes care?
Takes care of what? We assume profits are after upkeep and everything else.
Oh, good. That's very good. That's very good. Very good. The profits are after the profits are after the mortgage payments and after the taxes. Right, after everything. Right, that's good.
The AC unit, after everything.
After everything. Gewaltig. Let's say this apartment building has 20 apartments. And we can make it simple. Simple. It's a two flat. It's a two flat. They get married. And they're making $2,000 a month on the two flat. Okay? Husband says, you know, this two flat has some land right next to it, which abuts it, which you own. I think I'd like to build a third apartment here. And that way we'll have $3,000 a month, Brian. So here's the opening shot after the entire Agdama. Can she say no? Who owns this property? She does. Who owns the payers? He does. He would like to be able to create more payers. Can he do that? Fascinating show. Fascinating show. Number one. Number two. Yeah, go ahead. Number two for fascinating Shiloh is Mamishno Gail Amaisa. She owns the property and he owns the payers, correct? Don't look at me like I'm strange. Am I correct or not correct?
You started the show by asking, is there a way she can protect her? You never answered
that. I haven't answered that yet. Oh, no, we've got
10 minutes.
No, we got a way to go yet.
Now, it's going to be too much here.
That's right. Now, I'm asking you a question. Can she sell the property?
Sure, why not?
Place him here. Sure, why not sell the property? The Baal says, you sell the property, what happens to my payers?
They go away.
They go away?
Yeah,
no way.
Cash.
How can you take away his payers?
Because he acquired the right to get whatever payers that were.
That's correct. That's correct.
Is there no payers? That means we've got a right to.
What do you mean there's no payers? There are payers. She's selling the property, I'm going to lose my payers? No such thing. I can't lose my payers. I'm not losing my payers. Now I'm going to ask you one more question. One more question. She dies. She predeceases her husband. Who gets the building? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The halacha is, it's a machlokes rishonim, whether it's daraisa or derabbanan. The husband yarshins his wife. That's terrific. Terrific, right? I'd like to ask you a question, sir. May I ask you a question?
Her kids are going to lose out.
Oh, very nice. But before that, what is your question? If a man has $1 billion in assets, and he has children, and he decides, he's getting older, he decides, you know what? It's time. I'm giving away $900 million to tzedakah. Before he dies. Is he allowed to do that?
Sure.
He dies. Can the children go to the maestas and say, give me the money back? My father gave it away, it's my money?
No.
Does the money belong to the children?
No.
No. Until the man dies, the money does not belong to the children. The money belongs to who? The father.
Father.
Father. Excellent. Father. Question. Therefore, if the father wants to sell or give it away, he can do whatever he wants. The children have no ownership in the father's assets, even though they are the yarshim. Until he dies, they have no ownership, correct?
Yes.
Good. What happens with a wife and a husband? What is his status vis-a-vis her property? Answer is, what's the answer?
He doesn't own the property.
Well, 1 second here. Don't be so quick to tell me. We just had a whole shiur. We're up to number minute number 26 in this year. What have we said so far? Who owns the property?
She owns the property.
Who owns the payers?
She
owns the
property.
Oh. It's not like a son and a father. Not like a son. However,
he's entitled to future payers. There's no guarantee of the payers.
Oh, very good. And if he's, you want to say, and if he's a Yoresh and she sold it, so therefore it should go to who? To the Lekeach.
Right. Or she can give it to her kids while she's alive.
I learned this Gemara many times as a young bachur in yeshiva, as a younger man, and I must tell you the truth, until this week I never understood it in the depth that I presently understand it. Gemara in Ksubis, two places in Ksubis, and it's Baba Kama, that the Baal is a lekeach. The Baal is a lekeach. Now we have 5 minutes left. I told you this is complicated. Here we go. The Baal is a lekeach. You know what that means, the Baal is a lekeach?
Right to first refusal.
Oh, I want to ask you a question. Benji, I lend you $1 million. I lend you $1 million. I trust you, I lend you $1 million. Interest-free loan, $1 million. Benji has to pay me back in a year. 6 months before he has to pay me back, 6 months after the loan, Benji has a piece of property and he sells it. He sells it. Time for the loan comes about, and Benji pays me back. Beautiful. $1 million on the due date. I say, Benji, I don't want the money. I don't want the money. I want that piece of property that you sold. I want to take that piece of property instead of taking the money. What do we tell me? The property is only mishubit, then in case I don't want to use Benji anymore, then in case the loiva does not pay back the malva, then the malva can go after the property.
Right.
But of course, if the loiva pays back the malva can't go after the property. Busha iskinu, that the baal is lekeach. You know what that means? It means that if the woman sold the property, she sold the property, and the Baal, after Rachmana Lislan, she dies, the Baal says, what? I'm a lekeach. You know what that means, says the Gemara. He goes to the lekeach, and he takes away the property. Without having to pay. Because he was a lekeach the entire time. She sold it. Only on the tzad. She sold it. Only on the tzad. The guy who bought it said like this, it's a gamble, like the Gemara says in Makkis in the Mishnah of Gimel Min Aleph. If he dies first, and if he divorces her, then the lekeach wins. If she dies first, the lekeach loses.
I don't understand it. What loan does she owe him that he can go after her property?
No loan. Gebaldik Akasha. There is no loan here. But Chazal said that his relationship to this property is he's a lekeach.
The buyers are making it better.
That means I really bought this car, depending. If she predeceases the husband, then the husband gets the property. With what rights? Because they made him into a lekeach, besides being a yerish. If he was only a yerish and she sold it beforehand, then you're right. Lekeach wins. But Chazal said, Busha Eskinu, they made him into a lekeach.
Isn't it Baba Kama with the Kesuba that they discount it and they buy the Kesuba over there and they discount it?
That's in Makkis also, in Daf Gimel. That's the case by Zayman. It's also in Baba Kama. So this is the opening salvo of tonight's shir, and we'll see what happens. I'm wishing you all Hatzlacha Rabba. Those people who are watching, those people who are at Torah anytime, should be only with Hatzlacha Rabba to all of us. Thank you very much. Shabbat will be at 11 minutes after 10, Bez Hashem.